Today on Real Radio.
Young, middle-aged, old, faith in God. We don't need to be afraid of anything. God is watching over everything. Just when you think you've reached your end, you haven't reached your end.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter series through the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We've already looked at chapter 29 and parts of chapter 30 where David had a crisis in faith, so to speak, when dealing with King Saul. Now we're delving deeper into chapter 30, where we see David growing spiritually and gaining a better understanding of how the Almighty orchestrates events in the lives of his people. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Making a Comeback.
Valiant. Why? Because of the presence of another. David strengthened himself, listen, not in his friends. He didn't have any anymore. He didn't strengthen himself in his wealth. He had none. He didn't strengthen himself in Saul's army. They were against him. He didn't have the Philistines. He didn't have the Israelis. He didn't have his own men. He had nobody. David had no one. And here's where the dividing rod snaps between the person who plays spirituality and the real believer. It says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. He built up a fortification of hope because he turned to God. You may not think much of it, but that last sentence of verse 6 is David's turning point in his life, and things will never be the same from that moment on. David strengthened himself in the Lord. Everything changes from here on out. So making a comeback, verses 7 through 10 of chapter 30, we consider this. It all changes for you and I when we call out to the Lord. It all changes for you and I when we make a call out unto the Lord. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, Then David said, based upon what? Based upon verse 6. Not only verse 6, but the end of verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. Remember, we don't need to go back to belabor it. The ephod was what was used to communicate to God. You might say, well, I wish I had an ephod. Where do you get those things? You know what? There's one sitting on your lap. We have the Bible now. It's better than any ephod the priest ever wore. Yeah, but Pastor, I read somewhere they would put the stones in there, the Urim and Thummim, and they would, and God would speak, and then they would kind of light up, and you could bring it out. You could get a yes or a no out of the. Yeah, that's true. You got a yes or a no. And in that religious economy in the Old Testament period, in God's working with men, that's all you needed was a yes or a no. In fact, as we shall see, you had to know how to ask God in such a way to get the yes or the no. I'm wondering if we could even handle that today because we're so used to the Lord. We pray, we talk to the Lord. Sometimes we pray and it's like he's got to scratch his head. Say, what is he asking? What does he mean by that? Aren't you glad that God knows what's in our heart before we ask? I don't know how you are about putting words together. I find myself as I'm getting older, I wind up saying the thing that I want to say last, that's the thing up front, and the thing that I want to say first, it's the actual thing that winds up at the end of the sentence, and it's like, why did it come out that way? What's wrong? I begin to check my pulse, what am I having, a stroke? God knows what's in our heart before we say it, very clearly. David is going to ask certain questions. God will give specific answers. Why? Because he knew how to talk to God. For you and I today, how much more wealthy are we in the faith when we can talk to God and we have the Bible to consult? Much more than what the priest had. So David says, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David, verse 8. So David inquired of the Lord, asking or saying this. Number one, shall I pursue this troop? That's a yes or no question. You and I get to say, Lord, what do you want to say to me? Isn't it fun? Lord, what do you want to say to me today? Then you open up the Bible and read it, and God speaks whatever he wants to speak to you. Well, Shall I pursue this troop? Number two question. Shall I overtake them? That's a good question. Shall I pursue this troop, and am I going to be a success at it? I don't know what he would have said if God would have said, pursue the troop, and no, you're not going to be successful at it. Then can we go back to question number one? I'd like to talk to you about that for a little bit, kind of, you know, find out more about this. No, God says to him, look, God answers, the Lord answers and says, number one, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. And number two, without fail, recover all. The moment you and I determine to make a comeback, that is to return back to the Lord in our faith. Christian, listen, God will restore all that was taken and he'll even bless you more. And I don't know about you, let me speak for me personally. When I get away from God, when I feel distant from the Lord, maybe for all kinds of reasons, who knows what and where, the lie that I begin to hear from myself first is, the Lord's not going to take you back, Jack. The Lord's not going to be talking to you anymore. You didn't pray today. You didn't read today. You didn't witness to somebody today. You know all that stuff. And it begins to build up on you. And then this thought enters your head. I'm not even worthy for God to speak to me. I've made a blunder here. I've made a blunder there. Why would God speak to me? David had been in a place of discouragement, but he strengthened himself in the Lord. And the next thing he does is he consults God, and God gives the answer. You will recover everything, and it will happen without fail. Verse 9, so David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. Verse 10, but David pursued, he and the 400 men, for the 200 men who stayed behind were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Mark this down. Number one, of verse 7, we learn this, that when you and I call out to God, that is a good thing. We must do that. And what's powerful about it, perhaps David, we can say, when you and I feel like we've reached the end. David had reached the end. And he calls out to the Lord. There are people who reach the end and they call out for a gun. There are people who reach the end and they call out for a bottle. The truth is that they haven't reached the end. You may be listening right now. You're not even a Christian, but you happen to stumble across this and you're listening to this. But you're at your end. You can't think of going another day. You can't think of facing another person, another commitment, another requirement of your life. You feel like everybody's pulling from you. And you're at your end. You are not at your end. Brother, if you were at your end, God would take you out of this world. You don't run your life. You may not even believe in God, and you think you're in control. You are not in control. God is sovereign, even over the most wayward, godless person. God is speaking and pleading. When you and I feel like we've reached our end, David felt like that, but David now is back online. He's called out to God, and God is going to be speaking to him. That's a real danger for us, because here's David, a great psalm writer, a great soldier, a great man. I mean, look at him. We look at him with adoration. We look at him with a tremendous man of God. I mean, come on, honestly, men, wouldn't you like to be like David? David picks up the stone, slings it around, hits Goliath, stuns him. The guy falls down, knocks him out, and then David kills him with the guy's own sword. He talks about great battles, and we did this, and we went up, you know, and the Lord led us up on this ridge, and we came down upon them, and God was with us, and it's all right. It's like, oh, man. And we can write those psalms too. The enemy fled from us. Oh, God, thou art great and mighty, and we love thee, for thou art strong on our behalf. And it's like, hoo-hoo. But then there's those times of David when he writes and he says, Lord, I cry all night long like a dove in the wilderness. And it's like, what is that? Well, he wrote those tremendously emotional things because David felt everything. He was a real man's man. And he wasn't afraid to cry. He wasn't afraid to go to battle. He wasn't afraid of anything, I think, except himself. And when David got his eyes off the Lord, though, like many of us, when we got our eyes off the Lord, we become afraid of everything. When we're little, we're afraid of shadows. When we're little, we're afraid of suggestions. I don't know about you, but was your house as crazy as mine growing up? My mom's from Hawaii, so when I grew up in real bizarre kind of thinking, I'm telling you. My mom was a clean freak. I mean, she cleaned it. You could eat off of any floor in our house at any time. Well, listen, this is really, I'm really letting you deep into my life here. My mom would clean the house in the morning, then she'd say, get out of the house. She didn't say it that clear because she spoke pidgin English, so it was kind of like, what? Get out of the house. Whatever, okay. And then she, you know, if we went in there to get something into our bedroom, she would say, there's manahonies in there. Manahonies? What's a manahoni? And, well, and that's a demon. Oh, that's great. Stay out of the room because, you know, there's, you can't dirty up your room. I just cleaned it. And besides, there's manahonies under the bed. So then at night, my dad would say, it's time for you to go to bed. I ain't going to bed. There is no way I'm going to go to bed. And they would make me go to bed. And then you lay, you know, did you ever, is it just, it's apparently just me. I would lay there and I was afraid to go to the bathroom because if you got off the end of the bed, what's going to get you from underneath that? And it freaked me out. When you're little, you're afraid of everything. Everything. The wind blows. Oh, no. I was deathly afraid of the wind because what was going on out there? Well, then you get a little older. And then, you know, it's, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, on out to 20-ish. You're not afraid of anything. And you're, in fact, you are so not afraid of anything, you're stupid in that area. Come on, let's jump. You want to jump? Let's jump. But as you get older, you, once again, as you get older, you begin to become afraid of everything again. The shadows, the sounds. Interesting. But faith in God gives us strength. Caleb, in his old age, he said, give me that mountain, I'll take that mountain. And Caleb, as an old man, still fought and knew how to follow God. And he went and wrought a great victory. And then he set up his retirement home on top of that great mountain he conquered. Young, middle-aged, old, faith in God. We don't need to be afraid of anything. God is watching over everything. Just when you think you've reached your end, you haven't reached your end. In Acts chapter 18, verse 9 through 11. Acts 18, 9 through 11. It says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in a night vision, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you, for I have many people in this city. So Paul continued there in Corinth a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Why did the Lord appear to Paul in the middle of a night dream and say, don't be afraid? The same reason why God would speak to any one of us when he would say to us, don't be afraid, because we're afraid. God doesn't waste his breath. When Moses wanted to hear from God, he was afraid. He needed direction. God spoke. When Elijah needed to hear from God, remember Jezebel was chasing him? Big man of God, running away from this, I almost called her a lady. She was vicious. She was a witch, that woman was. And he's hiding in a cave. I'm the only one left. And God speaks to him again, the Bible says, to encourage us. We haven't reached the end. No matter how depressed you might be. No, when you and I feel like we've reached the end, it's not the end. We learn that from verse 7. He inquires of the Lord. He seeks communication with God. Look at verses 8 through 9. Call out to the Lord, even though you're alone. You know what? I'm convinced verses 8 and 9 teach us that God needs, God tries, God often challenges you and I in our life to go get alone. So David inquired of the Lord, asking, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And God answered and said to him, pursue, number one, pursue, for you shall overtake them, and without fail you'll recover all. So David, mark it in your Bible, verse 9, David went. This is great. Church, we can pray all day long. Maybe this is one of our problems. Maybe when we pray, we don't believe God's going to answer, so we don't get up and do. It says in verse 9 that David went. That means he got up. You ever pray and then get up and go do? That's how we're supposed to pray. God, we pray for the nations of the world. We pray for our community. God, we pray for our neighbor. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, where do you want to go to lunch? Let's go surfing. Let's go goof, whatever. And nothing wrong with that. But what were we asking God? David says, shall I go up? Will I be victorious? God says, yes, yes. So what does David do? That's really great to know. I'm just going to store that in my head. Thanks, God. A lot of Christians, you know, will say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Baptize me again in the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens. You want to know why? Because God knows that even if he were to fill us, we wouldn't do anything. Maybe we read a book. Maybe somebody next to us is asking, God, fill me, Lord. Baptize me again with the power of your Holy Spirit. Why would God give a sword to a child? Why would God put a jet engine on a go-kart? Many times in our lives we'll ask God, you know, I asked God, nothing happened. Listen, we need to ask God and then get up and go do it. And then you'll see the power of God. Moses got the children of Israel to the Red Sea and they're all 2.5 million of them standing there. Moses stands there and he turns around and he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And the Lord says, what are you doing telling these people to stand still? The Egyptians are coming. Now, stop right there. Don't you think God can handle the Egyptians? Of course. What's the point? Go. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God says to Moses, no, 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 get going, for the Egyptians are nigh unto your heels. And the sea parts and they go across. All to learn obedience in God. He controls time. He could have done anything. But even though you and I may be alone, or we may be sensing that we're alone, you know what? Let's pause as a church. Let's pause as Christians and figure out maybe in our distress, listen, some of you need to hear this perhaps, in our distress, in our pressure, in our crushing moments where no friend has given us the right answers, no radio program, no Bible study, no navigator notebook. There's no answer coming. Maybe God wants me alone. Maybe he wants to strip everything away. And I know that's true. It's true in my life. It's true in your life. If there's a message that's being taught from this pulpit and it's not reaching anybody, I know one thing. It will be because I have not spent time alone with God. You look outside the window. Bad thing to do when you're trying to study the Bible. Don't look out the window. Because I want to go outside. But I can't go outside because that's going to result in a deficiency in the message. So are you kidding me? I am not kidding you. God is like the ultimate lover. I mean, he is. He loves our soul for one thing. But you know what? You can't go like this with God. Hi, God, it's me, Pastor Jack. You remember me, right? Calvary Chapel, you know. Anyway. Sunday's message is coming up. Been real busy. You know, Lord, we got that construction going on, a lot of stuff going on in people's lives, including my life. And well, anyway, Lord, I'm going to give you about an hour and a half to speak so I can, you know, get back to stuff, and it's a really nice day. So go ahead and speak. He won't say a word. He will not talk. He'll be silent. Because I'm not alone with him. He's the lover of my soul. I've got to draw the curtains. I've got to light some candles. I don't mean that in a Catholic sense. I've got to light some candles as it were in my heart, the mood. Worship him. He's God. He's not a drive-thru restaurant. Lord, you know I'm busy. Come on, give me the message. Here I go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Right! It's not like that. We need to sit at his feet, and God begins to speak, and That's the tremendous advantage that Mary had over Martha. Martha was always busy. And we think in our culture, busy is really successful. No, it's not. Not in God's economy. Sitting down, being still, and don't you hate it? I mean, I hate it. You remember a couple weeks ago, Lisa and I went away, and the first 2 days, I'm like, my cell phone hasn't ring. There's nothing to do. She's going, there's not supposed to be anything to do. Then the third day, after having nothing to do, I felt sick. I couldn't believe it. I was like a noodle. The adrenal gland shut down. I had no more blood going through me. It was like, dead. But if I'm alone with God, He'll strengthen me. We don't need more input. We need to get alone with God. We got problems in our lives? Who doesn't? We need to get alone with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Making a Comeback, a presentation taken from 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's part of Pastor Jack's look at this Old Testament narrative, which gives valuable insight into the life of David. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And today being Friday means it's, well, my favorite time of the week, time for another Ask Pastor Jack segment. Ask Pastor Jack is a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Email your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. All right, here's today's question. Pastor Jack, this is for believers. When we die, our bodies go into the ground, or we're cremated, or what have you. Could you expound on what our resurrection bodies will be like?
Your very question, the answer gives absolute glory to God. If these bodies are sinful, and we die and we get to let them go, and we get to go be at the Lord, but our body is buried, you know, next Saturday, right? Then in the resurrection, who would want this body? The cool thing is, it's resurrection. This body that you and I have, remember, the model, the Bible tells us, is Jesus' death and resurrection. This body is going to be raised incorruptible, 1 Corinthians 15. Why don't you guys read 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Excuse me, tonight before you go to bed, you'll be so happy. It's so exciting. 1 Corinthians 15. When you and I die, this body goes into the dirt. When the resurrection takes place, the word in Greek, you're going to recognize immediately. It's thousands of years old. The word in Greek is metamorpho. We use the word metamorphosis. The body will metamorphose. It will change from a molecular structure that it is right now, and the elements will change. It will be actual elements. They will actually change so that the resurrected body that was laying in the ground will leave a vacant spot there. But that body will be just like Jesus. It says, it does not yet know, 1 John says, it does not yet know what we will be like, but we know this, that when He appears, we will be like Him. So we stop and then we go study what was He like in His glorified state. He rose again from the dead. He appeared and disappeared. He ate and then vanished. He could appear in one place and he could sit and talk and you could touch Him. And then the next moment He's gone. That's how we're going to be. That is going to be very cool. On Monday, I was at California, soaring over California, you know. And I can't go on that ride without thinking about how cool heaven's got to be. Just not limited any longer.
All right, that's Pastor Jack answering a question about our eventual resurrected bodies. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.